Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ngā mihi nui and welcome to Our Changing World from RNZ National.
Dragonflies. They're an ancient group of insects that have really stood the test of time. Scottish dragonfly enthusiast Rory Mackenzie Dodds spends quite a lot of time in New Zealand. He's been keeping himself busy while he's here, surveying dragonflies at the Parangarahu Lakes. These are tucked in behind Pencarrow Head at the entrance to Wellington Harbour. I join Rory for a dragonfly tour, and we start at a shallow, rush-filled wetland on the edge of the smaller of the two lakes, Kohanga Piripiri.
You can see that there is a little, as it were, channel here, and this is an ideal territory for particular types of dragonfly. There's one that's here, but of course it's not here at the moment, called the Lancer dragonfly, and it zooms up and down here, darting in and out of the rushes, setting up a territory, waiting for the females to arrive.
Now, dragonflies, tell me a little bit about dragonflies. What kind of insect are they?
Yeah, they have their own order, the order Odonata.
And what does that mean?
Okay, it means toothed ones in Greek. Of course, they don't have teeth, but they do have amazing gnashers for consuming their food. It breaks down into two suborders, Alison, the real dragonflies and damselflies. And they split up 270 million years ago. So
they're really not close relatives at all?
Not really, no.
But 270 million years ago is when they split. How long have they been around for?
Well, dragonflies per se, 320 million years. So they really are very, very ancient creatures.
God, they have stickability.
They certainly do.
And they're obviously flying insects.
Yeah, they are. I think the thing that stuns a lot of people is how much time they actually spend underwater before they climb out and turn into the adults that you always think of when you say the word dragonfly.
Okay, so tell me about their life cycle.
Okay, well, a typical dragonfly, such as the Lancer that I just mentioned a moment ago, will be 2 to 3 years underwater, shedding its skin, like snakes do, going through about 9 or 10 instars, as they're called, before it finally climbs out of the water and emerges. It's an amazing thing to watch when they pull themselves out of their final larval skin and transform themselves into these beautiful flying insects.
As dramatic as watching a caterpillar pupate and then come out as a butterfly?
Absolutely, yes. It is at least as dramatic as that.
Clearly, in your opinion, more dramatic.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
Of course.
Now, these larvae, are they living in the mud in a little lake like this?
Yes, that's right. They start as an egg, and then they'll gradually get bigger and bigger, and they've got an amazing, it's called a labial mask. It's as if you've taken your arm off and stuck it on your lower lip. And this thing is very neatly folded up under their body. And when it goes into the attack, when it decides it's lunchtime and a mosquito larva is passing, for example, this thing will extend itself very, very nearly half the length of the insect and grab the mosquito and bring it back to these amazing gnashers that I mentioned. So they really are quite extraordinary, the way that they hunt. So some of them bury themselves in the silt and wait for things to pass, and others actually go hunting using their amazing eyes to search out prey.
Now, if I went digging in the mud then and I found a dragonfly larvae, would I know that it was a dragonfly larvae?
You don't actually have to dig in the mud. What you have to do is what we say in Scotland, you have to guddle for them, in the sense that we tend to use a sieve or a cullender and just shuggle it along the bank and then hoik it out, stick what you've gathered, the mud and muck and weed and stuff, and dump it into a white tray. And then you'll see all the kind of other insects and animals that you typically find. But then you'll spot these very, very obvious dragonfly larvae. They're about, two, 3 centimetres long. It depends on the species. The dragonfly larvae are different from the damselfly larvae. The damselfly larvae are much smaller, and they've got a set of, as it were, fins. They're not actually fins. They're caudal lamellae. They're gills mounted on the back, and they use them for swimming through the water. And the dragonflies have got a trick, which is that they can suck water into their backsides because they breathe through their backsides. They have rectal gills. And they can suck the water into their backsides and then blast it out again and go hurtling through the water like a torpedo to get to the prey or to get away from you if you try and catch them. So they're pretty interesting.
I'm still looking for a dragonfly. Have you seen anything yet?
No.
I can't believe it's a perfect day.
It is a perfect day and there should be activity. But they're here, believe me.
Well, I'm watching the swallows.
Yes, yeah. I can tell you something about dragonfly flight, which might explain why swallows have some trouble catching dragonflies. For example, a typical dragonfly will be able to cover 15 metres from a standing start in less than a second. I mean, they really are supersonic, for you think of the size of it.
It's extraordinary acceleration.
It is phenomenal acceleration, yeah, really phenomenal, which means that they can get out of trouble pretty well. Part of the reason for that is not only the amazing flying abilities, but also the fact that they can see incredibly well.
So as well as having this great acceleration, what else am I looking for when I'm looking for a dragonfly flying?
The secret of dragonfly flight lies in their wing muscles. You know they've got four wings and they all operate independently. But the wing muscles are really the secret because, well, for a start, the average wasp, I'm told, has 18 sets of wing muscles and the average dragonfly has 42 sets of wing muscles. But in the wing muscles, there's a protein molecule called resilin. Now, we have resilin, actually, in our wrists. When you get a shock and adrenaline is pumped into your system, it's resilin which actually pushes the adrenaline into your bloodstream. There, look there.
Who's that?
Yeah, that's a lancer.
Oh, beautiful thing.
Isn't that superb? See how quickly it changes direction. It's doing exactly as I said, it's going in and out of the rush there. After a while, you get the hang of them. They fly so fast, but if you have a bit of patience and are prepared to just stand by a lovely place like this and wait, you'll start to see the difference between the different species. When we get close, you'll see that lancer, as it goes zooming by, there's a flash of blue, and that's the kind of telltale sign that it's a lancer. There, look, right here.
Oh,
right, just went zooming past us.
It did zoom. There it is.
There.
It's flying quite
high.
Flying
into the sky, yes. Yes. No, they fly huge distances, Alison. No, they really fly enormous distances. So they're not just sprinters. They're actually long-distance machines too. So, yeah, OK, back to resilin. The best example of resilin is in the knees of fleas. You know, they jump from their knees, and in their knees is resilin. So it's a pretty amazing substance. And this is the secret. You know that fleas need warmth to be able to operate effectively. Well, it's the same with dragonflies. They love sunny days because it warms up those wing muscles and enables them to fly really fast. So these swallows that we're looking at, the chances are they may be able to catch a dragonfly if they're really fast in the morning when the wing muscles haven't really warmed up. But in the afternoon, they've got much more trouble.
Now, how many species of dragonfly do we have here in New Zealand?
Actual dragonflies you're talking about here, not damselflies. Is that right? Yes, OK.
OK, we'll discount the damselflies. How many of those are there?
OK, there are six, of which four are endemic. You only find them here. So the other 12 are here. But of those 12 dragonflies, you're unlikely to see four of them. One of them has just started to settle at the top end of the North Island and the other three are visitors. So you can really put those aside and think about eight species.
And these eight are all native species?
They're not all endemic, no. I think five are endemic. That's a wonderful thing about them because, you know, there's such a limited number of species that that you can really get your head around them fairly quickly.
Now, just for a comparison, how many species of dragonfly do you have in the UK?
OK, we have about 45. There are about 5,000 to 6,000 species in the world. So, yeah, you aren't terribly well endowed with them, but they are so important, that's the thing. So they're
now,
not just
why
fun
are they
to
important?
Look at, they are very, very sensitive indicators of the quality of water, of fresh water. And when you think that, you know, only 1% of the planet's water is fresh water, and we've got to use it for everything that we use it for, the fact that these beasts tell us that their water quality is good, where they live, is very significant indeed.
I don't think I'd ever appreciated that. I have seen another little one darting around, but further down
okay.
the end.
OK, we need to get closer to be able to spot it. It's very likely there are two other species nipping about here all the time. There's the ranger dragonfly and the yellow-spotted dragonfly. The yellow-spotted is pretty easy, because it is yellow spotted. But they move fast, so you've got to keep your eyes pretty well peeled. And the other one, the ranger, when it lands, it's got yellow bars down its abdomen, down the fuselage, as it were, if it were an aeroplane, down the back end.
There's some very small things over there.
Yes, that's a common redcoat. That's a damselfly. They're just so beautiful. There's a common redcoat male just sitting on a piece of fallen rush down there. It'll be waiting for a female so that it can grab her. This is true also of dragonflies. The way they mate is, I think, quite fascinating.
So tell me about dragonfly mating.
What happens is the male takes a territory and goes up and down an area such as the one we're looking at in front of us here. And then when a female arrives, he has a pair of claspers on the bottom end of his abdomen. They're like little extra arms. And he grabs around the neck with these, and then she curves around and makes a connection with the front end of his thorax. And they form a kind of it's called a heart position. It's a very beautiful thing to see. And this is true for dragonflies as well as damselflies.
You sometimes see them flying around doing that?
Yeah. You can see them flying in tandem, as it's called, which is when the male has just got around the neck and the two of them are flying together. And then you can see them actually flying when they're, this is what a dragonfly nuts expression, when they're in cop. In other words, when they're actually mating. So they fly and mate at the same time. Yeah, look at that. They're flying in tandem. There's two pairs. Do you see them in tandem there? And that one there, the female is curving her ovipositor around and she's pushing eggs into that plant. There, so she's ovipositing. There they go. She's selecting a new site. And you could turn that over and you could see it'd be like someone had been doing some sewing under that leaf there.
Well, this is certainly a damselfly hotspot.
It is, yes. And that's a sure sign that the quality of this water is good.
Now, what strikes me as I'm watching the Lancer that's zipping back
yes.
and forth is the four wings that it has are very clear to see. And it reminds me of a little attack helicopter because, you know, the way it hovers and it's forwards
yes.
and backwards.
Yes,
and
they can hover, they can fly backwards. I don't think they actually need to loop the loop, but I'm sure they could. And you can see how quickly they dart in and out. And each of those four wings can operate independently, which gives them phenomenal control.
They're like the world's oldest flight engineers.
They really are. I've worked with helicopter engineers from Italy and from Germany, and they go gooey about the wing design, as it were, of dragonflies. Front end very stiff but hinged, rear end soft, like a flag. It's quite extraordinary.
Now, I know there was another place you wanted to show me, so I suspect you've got something else up your sleeve. What's
yes,
that?
Yes, what I'd like to do is to show you what we think we've got here at Lake Kahanga Piri Piri, which is New Zealand's finest, which doesn't actually behave in the way that you'd expect, or I would expect, a typical dragonfly to behave, i.e. 3 years underwater.
Before we give the whole story away, let's go
okay.
to the secret spot where you're going to reveal what this incredible
well,
creature is.
Let's hope so. Okay. Okay. What we've arrived at here, Alison, is shaded. It's quite a rare habitat for these lakes. I think these are manuka or kanuka trees, I'm not sure, but you can see how we're in the shadow of them now. And we're also standing beside this bank here. And what I'm looking for is what I've seen in other habitats around this area, for example, Butterfly Creek, the Botanic Gardens, Atari Wilton's Bush, is a bank which has got actually running water coming down it, because that is the kind of habitat which the bush giant really loves. It likes to be able to drill these holes, which go down about 60 centimetres, something like that, maybe more. And at the bottom, they've hit the water table so that they actually live in the water at the bottom of these burrows.
So we're still talking dragonflies, and we've got rushes just to our right here, but that's not where you're looking.
That's not where I'm looking on this occasion, no, because I'm looking for this particular bush giant, the one that it doesn't live in streams or rivers or lakes. It lives in these wonderful burrows.
Is it as big as the name sounds?
It is, yes, it is. If you go tramping, very often it's the one that actually lands on your hat.
I've met those before just nearby here in Wainui Omata.
There we are.
They're extraordinary creatures. They are enormous.
Well, the reason that I'm standing here is because the very first visit that I made to this lake, I was returning back along this path, and I heard this tremendous clattering noise above my head. And I looked up, and there was not one but two bush giants about to mate. And I've been in contact for many years now with one of, if not the top person for dragonflies in New Zealand, Richard Rowe. He's actually not in New Zealand anymore. He has said that the females very rarely move away from about, I don't know, several hundred metres from their burrows. Well, I've actually seen a female mating right here. So what we've got to do is to find the burrows.
OK. Off you go.
OK. So what I'm doing here is just kind of keeping an eye on this bank to our left. And you can see it's still very, very dry. So we'll just plod on a bit. I came to this point here, and I found myself looking up here, Alison. And you can see it's much damper up there. Now.
And then inspect the forest floor.
Yeah. There's one there, and there's one there. They're tiny at the moment. There's another one there. They start off quite small, and gradually they make the holes bigger and bigger. But they'll finish up with a hole with a diameter of about 3 centimetres, something like that. And often they'll pile the mud up round the hole and make a sort of tower.
How long are those larvae going to spend in those burrows?
No one's exactly sure. They've been bred in captivity, and typically it's 5 or 6 years. So that kind of age is not unknown in dragonflies, but it's very unusual. Typically it's 2 to 3 years. And for a damselfly, it's much shorter. It's about a year underwater and then about 4 or 5 weeks flying.
This is our only dragonfly that builds these burrows in the soil?
OK. Here in New Zealand, you've got two species. You've got the bush giant and the mountain giant. Essentially, the mountain giant lives in the South Island, and the bush giant lives in the North Island. That's not to say that there aren't one or two bush giants in the South Island, but essentially that's the difference. And we reckon, I say we very grandly, but it's people like Milan Marinoff in Auckland and Richard Rowe, they reckon that the two species divided about 1 million years ago. In other words, after the mountain ranges appeared in New Zealand. But the really interesting thing, I think, is that Uropetala, the bush giant, goes back 127 million years. So what you're looking at when you see one land on your hat, effectively, it's virtually identical to one which was flying around 127 million years ago. It's long before Zealandia split away from Australia, this group became unique, and it's the only place where you can see these wonderful bush giants. Here is New Zealand.
Thanks, Rory. That was dragonfly enthusiast Rory McKenzie-Dodds, and I've posted some of his dragonfly and damselfly photos on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. I'm Alison Balance, and this Our Changing World podcast first aired on RNZ National on the 29th of March 2018. You can find us online at rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld, on the RNZ app, or subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher and Radio Public. There are plenty of RNZ podcasts to check out as well. Bruce Hopkins is still walking Te Araroa Trail. He's now in the South Island on the long way home. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter and Facebook as RNZ Science. Look forward to hanging out with you there. Bye for now. Hei kono mai.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.